Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Miracles Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
It's not a miracle. This is a true story sent to us by Jesse Carlton from Lawrence, Kansas. A true story.
I'm ready, man.
He says, a few years ago, a friend of mine bought a house in Concord, Massachusetts. So we know it's a true story. It's a real place, right?
Of course.
The house was pre-revolutionary, maybe 250 years old. Right after he bought it, he was rummaging around in the basement one day. He unearthed an antique bottle with a cork in it. As he was admiring it, the bottle slipped out of his hands and shattered on the flagstones. And this huge genie took shape.
Wow.
And said, you may have one wish. His friend was understandably nervous. Well, he said, I have this longing to visit a certain place, he said. This isn't my wish yet. I'm first trying to figure out how it works. The place I want to go to is Hawaii. The problem is that I get terribly seasick and I can't bear the thought of flying. So if I could just let you transport me to Hawaii, I would never be able to get home again. And I want to come back. So this is what I want, if it's possible, he says to the genie. I want you to build me a bridge to Hawaii so I can drive over and drive back. This is almost my dream.
Sounds reasonable.
Right? The genie says, do you realize what an undertaking that would be? Some of the pylons would have to be more than 2 miles long.
Hey.
He said, we'd have to allow for transatlantic shipping. We'd be able to have to withstand mid-ocean storms, not to mention all the permits involved. Isn't this something else I could do for you? His friend thinks for a while. He says, let me see. He says, all right, forget the bridge to Hawaii. Could you give me the wisdom to understand women? The genie says, you want 2 lanes or 4 lanes?
Did you read that to your wife?
Not yet.
I don't think you'll have to.
Well, it reminds me, however, of one day, you know, Bruce.
Yes.
Bruce was visiting, and Joanne was telling him that she, at the time, was working for this women's center at Wellesley College. And he says, well, what do they do? She says, well, they do research on women's issues. And Bruce ponders for a second, and he says, must be a big building.
Okay.
So where am I sleeping tonight?
You aren't sleeping at my house either. Well, if you have a problem with your car or anything else, you can call us at 1-888-CAR-TALK. Oh, man, you can get it.
It's all true stuff.
Okay. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Brett from Pullman, Washington. How are you guys doing?
Brett with Brett. One T or two?
Two T's.
Two T's. From where, Washington?
Pullman.
Yeah, Pullman.
Like the train guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's where it probably came from.
I think so, too.
You know that Pullman, Washington was almost called Boston, Washington?
Yeah. Okay.
I knew you would. What's up, Brett?
Hey, I have a 1992 Toyota Camry, and I really like the car. The problem with it is every time I get out of the vehicle, I don't care if I've gone across the parking lot, it shocks me with 2,000 volts of electricity.
Normally, you measured it? No. You happen to have your Wiggins on you that day?
Yeah, I bet it's more than 2,000. I bet it's 20.
Yeah, probably 20. But anyway, when I get out of the car, it shocks me. And so I've tried different tricks, like grab the inside door handle and throw it real fast and run away. And then the second I touch anything else metal, I don't care if I've walked across the parking lot and grabbed the door or kissed my wife, which is not a good way to do it. I get a nice shock. The worst part is when I have one of those cellular phone earbud things in that you hands-free set.
Oh, you get the shock
in
your ear.
I got out of the car, touched the door, and it sends 20,000 volts through my brain and out the other side. Lights up my eyes, and I have a headache for half an hour.
Has it always done this, Brett?
It's done it since I've owned it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's your tires.
It's my tires?
Yeah. I mean, we've found this phenomenon occurring in low rolling resistance tires, where they've replaced the carbon black with some silica compound.
I see.
And it doesn't allow the tires to discharge, and the static charge builds up, builds up, builds up,
yeah.
And then it builds up on you, And you become like the Van de Graaff generator in the, you know, the science lab, and you get out and touch something, and you discharge.
I like kissing my wife.
Exactly. That's pretty good, though.
Well, yeah, there's sparks.
How long have you been married?
8 years.
And the sparks are still flying.
Sparks are still flying. I think that's great.
But whatever the cause of it, you can solve the problem by installing a ground strap.
A ground strap.
Yeah.
To your ear.
Does the ground strap, like, hang down and touch the ground on the...
You got it.
Okay.
Yeah, hence the name ground strap. And,
right.
And what it does, it's a piece of actually rubber with a piece of metal embedded, a wire embedded in it.
I see.
And this thing is heavy enough so that it will hang down and touch the ground. Unfortunately, it will wear out as you drive. In fact, I can't remember the first time I bought one. I bought it for one of my wife's cars or one of my...
How many miles did you get out of it?
Not many, about 10,000. Well, maybe less than that. And that's why I was surprised when there were seven to the package. You kind of knew.
And
if you put it in a place where you can easily change it, make sure it touches a good substantial metal piece on the underside of the car, not the gas tank.
Yeah, try to avoid the gas tank.
Right. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Brett. Thanks for your call.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Howdy, guys.
Howdy. Who's this?
My name is Alexandria Heather. I'm calling from Keene, New Hampshire.
You have two first names.
Oh, yeah.
Alexandria Heather.
No, is Heather your last name or is it part of your first name?
Heather's my last name.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
And you're from where?
Keene, New Hampshire.
Keene, New Hampshire. Yes. That's pretty keen.
Oh, I'm sure that's the first time she's ever heard that.
Yeah,
well,
that
she would have been disappointed had I not said it.
That's true.
Sophomoric though it may be. People count on me for that stuff.
And they get it every week. So, Alexandria, what's up?
Well, I have a question about our it's 1987 Ford Escort wagon.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And my boyfriend got it free from his grandparents. It was a gift to him. And we've had to sink a lot of money into it in the last year.
Mm, interesting gift,
and
isn't it?
And so he really wants to get a Subaru. And we've come across this really strange sound in the front part of the car.
Oh, of the Escort.
Of the Escort, right. And I think it's the right-hand wheel. It sounds like a spray paint can when you shake it. You know, like
cluck,
that.
Cluck, 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 cluck,
cluck. Oh, with the little ball.
The little ball that bounces around inside.
Right. And it stops at about 30 or 40 miles an hour. But we didn't know if that would mean that we have to, you know, put more money into it. Maybe we should just get a different car, and we're not really sure what's wrong with it.
Well, I think you should probably get a different car, but it has nothing to do with the noise. No, I think the noise, so you're going to be disappointed because you're going to have to keep this car when I tell you how to get rid of the noise.
Mm.
I think the noise is a pebble inside the wheel cover.
What?
What?
Really?
There isn't much from a mechanical standpoint that would make that kind of noise.
Hmm.
So that it's like a tinkle tinkle noise.
No, it's like
I've used spray cans of paint before.
Well, that's right. That time, that weekend we did your dart. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was it. We used about 10 cans that day.
Yeah.
All different colors.
Yeah, the kids had a lot of fun, didn't they?
The kids had a lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, so it isn't something mechanical.
And I told you we should have used the masking tape.
I wondered what that was for.
But why does it stop after such a slow speed? I mean, if it's like a little pebble, it would be going at higher speeds.
No, nope. I'm sure my brother has a theory on this, and I can help him if he doesn't.
No, when you get going fast enough, centrifugal force will
pin
the pebble.
Exactly.
We used to play that as a schoolyard game. You would pin the pebble to the whatever it's up against.
Sure.
And would keep it from making the noise again.
Because what makes the noise is...
It's like being on a merry-go-round.
Not a merry-go-round, that thing.
The Turkish twist.
The Turkish twist.
Right.
Exactly.
The Baforama.
Because what's making the noise is as you go slowly, the little pebble is being thrown outward by centrifugal force, and then it drops down by force of gravity. And you hear it going bloop, bloop, bloop as it goes around and around, being thrown toward the front of the wheel and then dropping down by gravity. But when you go 60 miles an hour, the centrifugal force overcomes the force of gravity.
How's this?
Oh, I wasn't listening. I'm sorry. I was contemplating the thumbnail on my big.
No, I was bailing you out on the centrifugal force theory.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because it overcomes the force of gravity, and gravity is not sufficient to pull it down because centrifugal force is pushing it forward.
Yeah, what he said.
Pushing it outward. So if you take out the wheel cover,
You take out the wheel cover.
You know, the little plastic hubcap.
Yeah.
A little pebble will pop out.
In fact, you may not even see it.
Uh-huh.
That's very good. You may not even see it. Right. In which case, we would be proven right. Again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I guarantee you that that's it.
You guarantee me
I guarantee it. Yeah. This is 100% guarantee
Do you have the car close by right now? Where's the car?
The car is somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
In my apartment.
At your boyfriend's house? Call him up. Call him up. Tell him to run out there, take off that wheel cover, and if a little pebble falls out, call us back.
Now, you think it's the right front wheel, but it, of course, could be any of the other wheels.
Right. You know, so if you don't find it in the right front wheel, look on the car next to it. Maybe on the right front wheel of that car. No, seriously.
All right.
If he's around, ask him to go take off the wheel cover, because we'd love to know.
Call us back. We're dying to know if we're right.
Yeah.
We're dying to know anytime we're right.
Thank you, Alexandria Heather from Keene, New Hampshire. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Spencer from Miami.
Spencer.
Spencer.
Yes.
Is that with an S like the writer or with a C?
S.
Spencer.
S-P-N-C-E-R.
Oh. C.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
From Miami.
Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's happening, man?
Yeah, I have an 87 Accord.
Yeah.
And I needed new tires. So I got the tires and got them all balanced and everything. And I don't know, just on a whim, one day after I'd finished driving, I touched the lug nuts. And they were too hot to touch. And I was wondering if this is normal or, if it's a problem.
It's a problem.
Well, the more important question is, what prompted you after all these years of driving to touch your lug nuts?
Well, that's even more strange.
Isn't it?
I've never
thought about that in my life. You drive along and you do all these things. I mean, I've changed tires and everything like that.
You were driving along. Let me get this right. You pulled over and said,
I think I'll touch the lug nuts.
I think I'm going to touch the lug nuts, yeah.
Well, actually, I'd come home, and I just said, let me touch the lug nut.
Hey, don't question it. If God told Spencer that he should touch the lug nuts, then there must be a reason for it.
There must be.
Yeah. And you touched the lug nuts on how many wheels?
Just the front wheels, the left and right.
And they were
left
both
and right.
Very hot.
Very hot.
And equally hot.
Equally hot.
That's good. That's what they should be.
They should be.
Yeah.
Well, they shouldn't be too hot to touch.
Oh, yeah.
They should be warm.
No, if you've been driving the car and using the brakes.
Uh-huh.
How long had you been driving?
Oh, that day? That'd probably been about half an hour.
Don't forget, in Florida, even without using the brakes at all, the lug nuts are going to be 100 degrees anyway.
Right.
You're starting off at 100.
Just parked.
This week it's been that like that, right, in the high 90s.
Right, and if you're parked in the sun, they're going to be even hotter. So they're already hot enough to burn you, even without driving the car. So it doesn't take very much braking to get the temperature of those things way up over 200 degrees, where they would feel very, very hot.
They were very, very hot.
That's good.
That
means you have front brakes and they're working.
Well, I mean, if you had been driving for half an hour, like on the highway, and only stepped on the brakes one or two times, I don't think the lug nuts should be hot. What makes the lug nuts hot is the friction between the brake pads and the rotors. And if you had done a lot of braking, I would think that the lug nuts would be very, very hot. But if you hadn't, it might mean that the pads are jammed up against the rotors because the calipers are frozen.
Unlikely.
It's worth looking at.
Did any of your neighbors see you touching your lug nuts?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No,
okay.
I think I'm safe like that.
Yeah. Right. It wouldn't hurt if you drop by the mechanic to ask him to just take a
peek. They'll charge you money. If they're both the same temperature, first of all, you weren't having any problems. I mean, there was no obvious reason in your mind why you should go and investigate temperature of the lug nuts.
Did you read the Philistine prophecies?
It was just that, you know, I got new tires.
You got new tires, and you just wanted to make sure that the lug nuts were still on.
Right.
And while you were there, you decided to touch them
right.
to make sure that they were still on and hot.
Right.
And that the guys hadn't messed up and forgotten to tighten them up.
Something
right.
like that.
Yeah, no, right. yeah, no, exactly. I know exactly the feeling. I have that every time.
Every time you get in my car, check everything.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong. And the fact that they were equally hot mm-hmm. tells me that everything is fine. Well, you know, the likelihood that both calipers are seized.
I will admit that does suggest that there isn't anything wrong. The fact that they were both wheels were the same temperature does suggest there's nothing wrong. On the other hand, I have touched lug nuts. I'll admit it on radio. I'll stand right here and say, I have touched lug nuts also, and they are not boiling hot when I touch them.
Were people watching you?
I have done it when people were watching me as well, yes.
Okay.
And they were not boiling hot unless something was wrong.
Uh-huh.
So if it were I would have someone look at it. If it was my brother, he obviously
All right,
would.
Can I go on redirect? I'll ask you my brother. Have you ever lived in Florida?
No.
Okay, I rest my case. See you, Spencer.
Thanks for calling,
man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, think hard. Do you remember last week's puzzler?
I don't remember no stinking puzzler.
That's right. There was no puzzler
right?
last week. The puzzler is on summer hiatus. It's out in the Hamptons getting a laser face peel.
How are we going to kill all that time in the second half of the show?
Stay tuned and I'll show you how a real pro does it. We'll be back in just a minute.
And we ride through time in a gold Cadillac that we won by chance on a $10 ticket at the Elks Club dance. 10 spot bet, that was all.
And even the lightning bugs start flashing SOS whenever they hear us say it. This is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the fine art of killing time at work.
Oh, how now, sweet it is.
In addition to distracting you from your insignificant car problems on the weekend, we also have taken on the awesome responsibility of helping you kill time during the week from the sanctity of your very own cubicle.
Oh, really now? How
now,
do we do that?
Should you find yourself with an extra, I don't know, like 3 or 4 hours a day to kill at work this
it
week.
It happens.
Just surf on over to our website, cartalk.com, and there you will find a classic Car Talk puzzler from the Puzzler Archives for your perusal. So,
I see, I would have said, and there you will find for your perusal a classic Car Talk puzzler, because that's a misplaced.
Well, especially if you don't know the name,
prepositional
if you don't
phrase.
Know the definition of the word perusal, you might have thought that that puzzle will help your condition. Maybe
oh,
perusal
yeah.
is
it's
a condition.
It's for your perusal.
It's for your perusal.
Oh.
Shrink
man.
Perusals without surgery. Anyway, every week this summer, while our puzzler is on vacation, we will post another archival puzzler to soothe your aching perusal. And it'll challenge you during those particularly dull hours at work. Those hours like between 9 and 12 and 1 and 5.
Yeah, that other hour, that's always okay. 12
oh, yeah.
to 1.
No problem. Now, if you'd like to call us, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Thank you. You have 15 cents credit towards overtime.
Hello. Hello, is anybody there?
This is Beth calling from Schenectady, New York.
From a phone booth?
Yeah.
Did you break down somewhere?
No, I'm lucky about that.
Oh,
say.
Good.
First I wanted to answer your conundrum. You said a few weeks back that genius is passed from mothers to sons. And I have one of those genius mothers. Her IQ is 165. And it
yeah.
seems if 50%, it would make 50% of the geniuses in the world women, not most of the men, wouldn't it?
No, actually, men get all of their intelligence from their parents, from their mother. But females get half from the mother and half from the father.
Well, that's...
So if you have a genius mother, you might be a genius, but your genius might be diluted by a non-genius father.
Well, my IQ is not 165. But
so your father was a moron.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
C'est la vie.
That's how it goes.
My car question is that I have her Honda Accord. And about a week ago, I was trying to get above 30 miles an hour, and I heard this, you could smell this faint burning smell, and the car was revving up to 5,000.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
What?
It's a classic case of a car that needs a clutch.
Clutch.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you do this to her car?
No.
What do you mean no? Who was driving the car when this occurred? Was she driving it?
Well, yeah, I was driving it.
How many miles on the car?
About 100,000.
Oh, then that's okay.
Yeah.
If this is the first clutch it's had, then that's fine.
My other thought had been that the emergency brake wasn't working and that maybe it had seized, and that's why I was having problems with the power, but the brake light wasn't on.
Well, yeah. The brake light wouldn't be on if it was seized because you could have released the handle, which would have turned the light out, but the brakes could have stayed on.
Is there
15 cents ran out.
Yeah, there's a simple test. Was that your
80 cents.
80 cents? Okay, hold on. Three quarters and a nickel.
Four quarters. You have 20 cents.
Credit towards overtime.
Oh, that's right. They all sounded the same.
Right, sounded like four quarters to me.
Yes, there is a simple test that you can perform to determine whether it's the clutch.
Okay.
Bring the car near a big stone wall or something that you're not going to crash, you're not going to drive into or knock over. Set the handbrake with the front bumper pointing at the stone wall. And then put the car in fifth gear.
It only goes up to fourth.
All right, put it in fourth gear.
Okay.
And then try to drive it away. Give it a lot of gas. Like halfway to the floor. And let the clutch out. If the clutch is really good, and the smell was coming from the emergency brake being stuck and not the clutch, the engine will stall immediately.
Okay.
If the clutch is no good, the engine will continue to run, and you'll have that familiar smell again.
Well, it's an automatic.
What do you mean it's an automatic?
It's an automatic.
After all this, it's an automatic? Okay, let's start from square one.
Oh, if it's an automatic, then it's very likely that, in fact, your scenario is correct.
That's a brake.
My guess is that maybe Mom wasn't using the handbrake. You used it.
No. Well, I used it to park, but I didn't leave it on that day. I swear the little light wasn't.
No. What I'm saying is if she is in the habit of not using it, and then you used it once, it probably stuck on because the mechanism is frozen. Even though you released the handle, the brake stayed on.
Wouldn't the brake pad be worn if it was seized?
Well, they are. Yeah, someone's going to have to pull the drums and not only determine how much of the shoes are burned up, but try to free up the levers.
Okay.
And alternatively, you could just return the car to her and say nothing, which is what I would do in this situation.
Yeah. Well, I could do that, but because she lets me drive it so much, I kind of would like to try to make sure that I do something
it. Take it to your local gas station and have them pull the rear wheels.
Okay.
And they'll figure out what's wrong.
Yeah. Okay. And good for you. I mean, I'm glad you invested that other 80 cents because you'd have gone off with a completely wrong idea here.
Well, I think somebody along the way would have figured it out when you asked to have the clutch replaced.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oops.
Time for you to go.
Hey, nice talking to you, Beth, and good luck.
Oh.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
And good luck. Say hello to Mom.
I will.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Tracy from Charleston, South Carolina.
Hi, Tracy.
Tracy, is there an E in that?
Yes, there is.
And is that the difference between the male Tracy and the female Tracy name?
I don't think so. I've seen it spelled both ways with both genders.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, this is a follow-up call to a call you had last weekend.
This is a good name if you're a cross-dresser.
Hey, come on now.
Don't leave the guy alone, will you, please?
Well, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it in a bad way.
Come on, Tracy. Don't listen to him.
Do you guys remember a call last week from a woman that said her mother had offered her and her boyfriend a car if they got married?
Yes, I do.
Oh, do we remember it?
Of course.
You wanted to hear from that boyfriend.
Uh-oh, you are he.
I am he.
No kidding.
You know, as a matter of fact, now I remember that she mentioned your name.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
What was her name? I forgot.
Elisa.
Oh, how could I forget that? That's my mother's name. That led us to the discussion
right.
of Jimmy.
Right.
Vincent. So, Tracy, this is a very interesting situation you have here.
Yes, it is.
Her mother. Came to you. Not to Elisa, as I recall it. And she said, if you guys will get married, I will buy you a car.
Right.
Yes.
Which put me in kind of a dilemma.
Of course. You ain't kidding.
I mean, you can't be bought for just a car.
Yeah, so, I mean, what was your initial reaction to this? I'm curious. I mean, if my current mother-in-law had come to me with such an offer, I'm not sure what I would have done.
Yeah, Elisa and I have been dating about 3.5 years, and we've been living together, a year and a half.
We discussed that as well.
Okay, so right. that's what prompted this on Mom's part.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The thing is that I've been thinking about proposing, asking her to marry me.
Yeah.
For a little while, a few months.
Yeah.
And then all this car talk came up, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of turned you cold a little bit, I suspect.
Well, the thing is, I didn't want to propose to her immediately after her mother offered to buy me a car.
Right, it would look.
It would be suspicious.
Yeah.
And so I kept waiting, and...
Yeah, but see, waiting isn't going to help either now. I mean, once she's made the offer, the offer's on the table.
It's a standing offer.
No matter
offer,
what,
yeah.
Your proposal is going to be tainted.
Your proposal is phew.
Yeah.
I mean, how can she believe now? I mean, this could ruin your whole
life. Well, the only way you can make it believable would be to refuse the car.
That's it.
Which would be stupid.
That would be stupid,
wouldn't it? Would be stupid. I mean, if you're going to marry her anyway, why not get a car out of it? On the other hand, will she always suspect you for the rest of your lives?
Right. And someday at Thanksgiving dinner,
yeah,
you'll be berated
for having to be bought.
Well, Tracy never would have married Elisa if we didn't get him that car.
That's right.
Yeah, boy, that'll be thrown up at you many times. Yeah.
Well, I think that is too expensive of a gift to give to somebody anyway. I mean, I would feel kind of funny.
Oh, so you're leaning toward turning down the car.
Well, I mean...
What's the car? I mean, do we have any idea what the car is or what the... Because that might change everything.
No, I don't think they got into that level of negotiation.
No.
Did you?
No.
Of course not.
Not at all.
I mean, in fact, I mean, think about it. Is he going to say, well, Mrs. whatever her name is, what kind of a car did you have in mind? I mean, that's going to
really
be the worst possible answer, which means, well, I might consider doing it, but not for any old car.
Well, that's irrelevant now.
Why? You ran away and got married.
You joined the circus. You popped the question.
Well, we went looking for a car, and I fell in love with the lady that was selling us the car. No, I'm kidding.
You're a liar.
We got engaged last weekend.
You did?
You right. And the car salesman?
No, me and Elisa.
You did?
Yeah.
How sweet.
Yeah, so...
And there's no car involved?
No, of course not.
Of course.
If you happen to get a car as a wedding present, of course you won't refuse it. But at this point, you didn't accept the bribe, and I think that I'm proud of both of you.
So am I. I'm proud. You're quite a man, Tracy.
Thank you very much.
And Elisa is quite a woman.
Hey, we'd like you guys to come to the wedding.
We'll be there. When's the happy day?
I think April 5th.
Cool.
Yeah, we're looking forward.
Let us know.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim calling from Pacifica, California.
Hey, Jim.
Yes.
How are you guys doing today?
Not bad.
Well, 2 weeks ago, my fiance's car overheated to the point of warping the head.
Oh, you were driving, huh?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Of course.
So I've endeavored to go ahead and replace the head gasket and have the head shaved down.
So you're doing it yourself?
Yeah, I already did it, actually.
Really?
Already did it. Good.
Yeah, and I'm to the point now where I was meticulous about labeling all of the vacuum lines and everything. Unfortunately, I used pencil and masking tape.
Oh.
Which doesn't go too well with...
and it rained, right?
Yeah. Well, worse than that, it has the engine well had, you know, an inch thick of grease and oil.
Yeah.
So anyway, I must have crossed some vacuum lines, and when you turn on the motor now, it seems to breathe on its own and then die. It it revs up to about 2 grand and then down to about 100, and then back up to 2 grand and 100, does that about 3 times, and then it stalls.
Cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you must have left a hell of a vacuum hose off. I'm going to have to guess that this is a Volkswagen.
I'm sorry. Let's back up. It's a 79 Toyota Celica.
79 Celica. Well, you have certainly I think your diagnosis is correct. You left off. You said you crossed a couple of vacuum lines.
I must have.
Because you sure you didn't leave one off?
Because
it would be floating there and you'd see it.
79 Celica. Yeah. Is this a 22RE engine?
Exactly. No, I'm sorry. It's 20R.
20R.
20R? Just 20R.
20R.
It's carbureted.
Yes.
Classic 20R. They don't make them like that anymore.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Gee, I mean,
there aren't that many things to do wrong there.
No, and in fact, the only vacuum hose that you could leave off that would cause it to do what it does is the PCV hose.
Okay, I'll check that again.
Because I mean, it could be disconnected. But can you hear a hissing?
Gosh, you know, the motor's so noisy.
All right, here's what you do. Here's how you find. This is how we always find vacuum leaks. Is your girlfriend still speaking to you?
So far, so.
Okay.
Okay. If we're not, you have to stop someone on the street to help you do this.
Right. Stop a passerby and have your assistant start the engine.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to be the man out there with under the hood.
With the fire extinguisher.
Right, and the stick.
Oh, you're going to need 3 people. Right. So there's the guy that starts it, the guy with the fire extinguisher, the person with the cell phone to call 911, and you.
All right.
Because we have the whole team assembled.
Right. Okay.
What you're going to do is cover up the carburetor. You've got the air cleaner off now.
So yeah.
Your air cleaner's off. You're going to cover the carburetor with your hands. And if you do it just right, you'll actually get the engine to run because what you'll be doing is offsetting the vacuum leak.
See, what's happening is all the engine is getting its air through whatever vacuum hose you've left off. So all this air is getting sucked into the engine, and when you add that to the air that's coming in through the carburetor, the thing won't run.
It's too lean.
But if you cut off the amount coming in through the carburetor with your hands, then it will run on the amount that's coming in through the leak.
Uh-huh.
Got it?
Yeah.
And then the fifth person, I didn't mention you're going to need 5 people.
Okay.
While you've got the carburetor covered up, that's why we have 6 people that work at the shop.
Yeah, okay.
With the carburetor covered up, You will be able to then hear the vacuum leak.
Okay.
You'll hear the engine sucking the air in through whatever hose, and you're going to say, oh, how could I have been so stupid?
That's a hose? I thought that was a wire hanging down there, you'll say.
And whatever hose it is going to be big.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to be big.
You'll find it. This is a foolproof method.
All right.
But there are a bunch on the bottom left side of the manifold, there are a bunch of hoses that could easily be left off.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to find one of them there, and you're going to hear it going... Good you've enough. Covered up the carburetor.
All right.
If not, call us back.
Okay.
And are you going to be a hero?
I hope so.
When you just one hose back on and that engine's going to smooth right out and run at 822 RPMs just so smooth. Oh!
All right.
And your chest will go out another 7 or 8 inches.
And you'll burst all the buttons on your jumpsuit.
And you'll start going. Great.
Good luck, Jim.
Good luck, James.
Thanks a lot.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Tommy, I guess we better take a break so that our stations can identify themselves.
Yeah, and dig out that 20-minute live version of Free Bird to cover up the rest of the show.
We'll be back in a minute. I can't get a dumb sticker on my car moved north just a little too far. Far more bottles and cans than a bar. Far from the trash ain't going real far. Far from the crows are picking and the coons are ripping and the landlord knocking down the door. And even though Bastille Day celebrants shout, off with their heads whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the Puzzler Archives. Now, for those of you who can't wait until the Puzzler returns, first of all, you really ought to get a grip. But after that, you may want to visit cartalk.com because there is a Puzzler waiting there for you.
Right. It's one of our archival Puzzlers, as we call them, which is a nice word for used. But used is good, right?
Oh, used can be very good. Anyway, you got any mail for us?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. This was sent to us by David Leventhal. I don't know where he got it. This is something that was needed, and someone has put it together. The Universal Grade Change Form. I mean, everyone who's ever been in academia knows that at the end of the semester, after you've turned in all the grades, there is this never-ending stream of students coming in trying to get their grade changed. And I can speak from personal experience. The grade change form right now leaves it wide open. This is a do-it-yourself grade change form with multiple choice answers. To Professor Blank from Blank, I think my grade in your course, blank, should be changed from a blank to a blank for the following reasons. One, and you just check off whatever applies.
Oh, you don't have to be creative.
Well, you don't have to be. The person who copied my paper got a higher grade than I did. Two, the person whose paper I copied got a higher grade than I did. I'm on a varsity sports team and my tutor couldn't find a copy of your exam. My dog, cat, gerbil, circle one, ate, wet on, threw up on, circle one, my book, notes, paper, circle one for this course. And then there's a place for other. So I think this is useful. This will be very useful because then the professors won't have to think about it. They'll just get it and they'll...
And if you check the right number of boxes, you...
Sure. I mean, as we know, they all change the grade anyway because they are intimidated by the students and because they know that the students, if they find out their grade's not changed, they will go and rescind the evaluation they did of the professor. And we know that everything is based on that.
Now, we have a friend that used a little more creative approach to grade change, a mutual friend who actually attended MIT with me.
Yes.
During which time, I felt... maybe entirely responsible for liberating him from the shackles of what do you call that, scholastic, what would be the right
rigor.
Word? Rigor. I took a straight-A student, and in one quick semester, managed to get him all Fs. So he gets all Fs that term. They throw him out for a semester. He comes back, gets all A's again.
And then he met you again.
And then we strike up another new friendship, and he goes back to all that. Well, the long and the short of it is, years after he graduated, he decides that he doesn't like the blemish of all these Fs on his grade report, and he goes to the dean's office and explains to them that, obviously, the reason he got all these Fs is that he wasn't attending class, because it's obvious when he did attend class, he got what?
All A's.
All A's. So he must have been absent for those 13 weeks that he received these Fs. So these grades should be expunged from his record.
And not only that, he wanted his tuition back.
That's when they threw him out.
I mean, he managed to convince them. I mean, what a guy.
What a guy.
He actually managed
and
to...
And he will remain nameless, at least for this week anyway.
Convince those dunderheads at MIT to buy this.
Anyway, if you want to call us about your car, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Nancy Tadatis. I'm calling from Worcester, Massachusetts.
Hi,
Nancy.
Nancy.
From the entire Western Massachusetts.
No, Worcester.
Worcester.
Yeah. I'm calling because I have this really cute 62 Ford Falcon, and I love my car, and I'm moving out to California, and I want to know if you guys think I should bring my car or not.
Of course. Where are you going to move to?
San Francisco. I'm moving in about a month. But the thing is that my car, although it's really worked for me well for, I've had it about 3 years, when I, it started to lose power for a while. So I took it in and I had them work on the valves and they redid the valves. And so it was really exciting afterwards. It had tons of power. It climbed right up the hill. But then all of a sudden, like a month later, I was trying to turn it on, and this big cloud of white smoke came out of the back, and then it started making all this noise going up the hill, so I brought it back. And they said that one of the rings was stuck, so they put some additives in it, and since then, it's loosened up, it's got power again, it's going up the hill, but it happened all of a sudden, and how will I know if it's going to happen again?
Oh, so...
You won't.
No. I mean, once the rings get stuck, is that it? Is the engine toast?
Well,
not well.
I'm not sure that's what happened.
Is the noise completely gone? The smoke completely gone? The rough running completely gone? Are all those things?
Well, it still runs a little bit rough, but the smoke is completely gone, and I really don't hear the noise.
And it was white smoke?
Yeah, big clouds of it.
Big clouds of white smoke. That is not a stuck ring.
Could it have been blue smoke?
It could have been, but it looked kind of white to me. I think what they said is it was a stuck ring.
Yeah.
Blue smoke.
I don't buy it.
You don't buy it?
I don't either.
No, I think you had a stuck valve.
Not the ring.
What kind of goop did they put in, do you know?
No, he just said he put in an additive into the oil, and that would make it unstick.
Yeah, and he said take it out and drive it like at 90 miles an hour and try to free the thing up. And
well, it doesn't really go much past 60.
And it was making a funny noise. What was the noise?
The noise was like tick, 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 going up the hill.
That's a stuck valve.
That's a valve, uh-huh.
That's what it sounds like. And they put the stuff in to unstick the valve.
Well, then why are they bringing up this whole story about the rings then?
But if they
because
did
they didn't work on the rings.
Yeah.
No.
See, they worked on the valves, and if they said to you, Nancy, you have a stuck valve. What would you have said?
Well, didn't I just give you $500 for this job?
But if they said, Nancy, you have a stuck ring.
Right.
And they commiserated a bit with, oh, that's too bad.
Right.
If only we had seen it when we were in there.
Will it stick again? That's my question. I mean, should I take it to California?
No, they're going to stick in Oklahoma.
Well, originally I wanted to drive my car all itself just on the way. And then since this happened, I thought, well, maybe I should just find a way to bring it out there, and then I could at least drive it around on Route 1.
I wouldn't drive it across the country.
But is it worth getting, like, I don't want to bring it out there if it's just in a couple of miles going to get stuck and toast again. Like, why bring a car all the way out there, you know?
Well, because...
Because you can sell it for a lot more out there.
No, because you'll fix it.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I mean, I would have it flatbedded out there.
Uh-huh.
And when you get there, you'll drive. Don't forget, they have repair shops in San Francisco, too.
They do. The thing is, though, is that old cars out there just seem to be a dime a dozen.
They're not.
Back here. They're not?
They're not. Nobody has all. That was my biggest revelation when I went to California.
You went to California?
Oh, I didn't tell you, did I?
No.
I expected to see all kinds of neat old cars.
Yeah.
Instead, everyone's driving a new Japanese car.
Or SUV.
But there are some people who have collections of them in their garages. Well, you know, since we know that whatever goop they put into your car solved the problem, go back and ask them for a couple of more cans of it.
Okay.
And tell them they can put a black tape over the label that says freeze stuck valves.
Right.
You don't really...
I won't even ask any questions.
You're not going to ask any questions. All you want is a couple of extra cans of it. And you
right.
throw
they
them in
can
the trunk.
Scrape the printing off the can, tell them. You don't need to know anything. They can put it in another can.
No, but you're going to love it out there.
I am. I'm very excited.
Is it an automatic transmission?
No, it's three in the tree.
Oh, you're going to burn the clutch out.
Yeah, that's my only problem. If you're going to San Francisco.
I know. But I really want to just take it not in the city so much, but over the bridge, Route 1.
Sure.
Oh, you're going to go to the Muir Woods with it?
Yep.
And you're gonna love it.
Yep, yep.
Nancy, I wish you the very, very best.
Have a wonderful time.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Lucky kid, huh?
Huh?
Lucky.
Oh, she can't wait to get out there. She's so excited.
Yeah. Well, she's probably in the witness protection program.
1-888-CAR-TALK. I'd be giddy, too. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dave from Marlton Lakes, New Jersey. And I'm upset that you just used up your good answer before you got to me.
Oh, yeah, well.
Hey, well, that's the breaks, man.
Where you're from again in New Jersey?
Marlton Lakes.
Marlton?
Marlton, like the dirt.
What's dirt?
It's marl dirt. Marl's like a clay.
Marl is clay, yes.
Yeah.
It's a crossword puzzle word. I've never seen this stuff in my life.
New Jersey doesn't have any real dirt.
No. So what's up?
I got a question about the remote keyless entry on my 97 Audi A6 Avant. Yeah. Actually, it's kind of a general question about all remote keyless entries. My range is really bad on it. I almost have to be right up to the car sometimes for it to open it.
Yeah.
And, you know, my brain-damaged college student son told me to just point it to my chin and it'll work.
Yeah,
and,
oh, man.
I told him he was a mental midget.
But he's
and,
right.
And then you
but,
found out that it worked.
It worked.
Yeah. Well, so someone told us that if it doesn't work, you stick it in your mouth.
Now, why would that be, though? I can understand, like, on an antenna, if you touch it, you know, your body's kind of an extra antenna.
Well, but because the way the thing works is there is an antenna under the dashboard.
Yeah, but you're on the transmitting part.
I know, you're sending the signal, but yeah. If I don't know how the chin works, but the mouth works because you're like making a little echo chamber.
Yeah, like the inside of your skull and it comes out of your eyes? What?
No, I think it happens. All right, here's a male answer syndrome answer.
Okay. Now, tell me exactly what your son said. You touch it to your chin?
Like you know, you do that Clinton thing, you know how he used to point at people?
Yeah.
But not point, you know? Well, you know, you just hold it like you're pointing at the car, and then just point it directly up to your chin.
So you're pointing the business end of it.
Right, up to your chin.
And how much have you increased the range, would you say?
About double.
Yeah. I mean, when we did the test, and it was at least 50% improvement.
Yeah.
I think it's using you kind of as a disperser.
It doesn't sound healthy.
Well, for example,
disperse this.
No, I have discovered the same thing with my TV remote. If I lie down on the couch,
what do you mean if?
All right, when I lie down on the couch, I frequently am too lazy to actually lift the remote control off the coffee
table.
Well,
you're tired from a hard day's work.
No, this usually happens on weekends. And I found that if I've aimed the thing, what I think is directly at the TV,
yeah,
it doesn't work. But if I bounce it off my forehead.
How, pray tell, did you discover this?
I don't know.
I bounced it off the wall.
But even if I bounce it off the wall behind me,
right,
it seems to work better than if I aim it at the thing. And I think it's because you're making the signal bounce all over the place. And all it takes is one little piece of it to get to the antenna or to the receptor or whatever that thing is.
Yeah, but the longer distance, it should attenuate or something. It doesn't make sense.
But I think the signal is so strong that if you don't aim it correctly, if you aim it right at it and mis-aim it, it goes right past it.
Oh, gosh.
But I think if you aim it at another wall, it bounces around so much.
No, that's baloney. That would mean. I mean, look, I bounce it off the wall. It's got a million possible ways
exactly.
That it can go around. And you're saying that little thing has enough energy
yes.
to make 100 turns
yes.
until it ends up zeke yeah. right in the middle of the receptor?
Yeah.
It's a geometric anomaly.
Boom!
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, if the wall is too far away, I mean, there are limits. And that's why bouncing it off your chin or your oral cavity is the equivalent of bouncing it off the wall in your basement.
Ah.
And if the wall is too far away, then the signal will be sufficiently attenuated
If ever I heard a Bull O'Gus theory, this is it.
All right.
Thank you.
You've thrown down the gauntlet.
Not that I understand how it happens, but I know that ain't how it happens.
Dave, that's my explanation, and I'm sticking with it. We're going to start a bulletin board on our website.
Yeah.
It'd be Dave's A6 Avant.
Dave's chin.
Yeah, you'll figure it. And we need people with authority. We need physicists
We need someone who makes the things.
More estheticians. What do they call those? Beauticians. We need anyone that has a shingle to set us on the straight and narrow here.
Yeah.
And we need to find out if, in fact...
It can't be rocket science.
Tell me, you're gonna be embarrassed when you find out that I'm right. Dave, thanks for your call.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Bye.
See, if your theory was right, then when you mis-aimed it at the TV,
it would do the same thing. It would miss the TV. It would bounce off, and it would just go all over the room and until it got back to the right place.
And
1,000 iterations later.
No, but then it's lost too much energy. It's going to bounce off the wall behind the TV. Now it's going to bounce off the wall behind you and then back to the TV. It doesn't make it. It doesn't make it. But if you could... Well, just like your garage door opener won't work from 2 blocks away. Everything has a range.
Well, that's exactly my point.
Right, but I think if you're within the limits of the range and you bounce it off something like that and you disperse the signal enough... then you'll get... I don't get no respect. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk, our esteemed producer.
Disperser.
Is Doug... I may have the nomenclature. A little bit.
Your chin is acting as a disperser. Did we go very south this way?
He did. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, disperse this, frogman Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the barbarian, and David Gibraltar Green. Our engineer is Tad Massaman Curry. Our senior web blackie is Douglas F. Mayer. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Fredonia, Fruki Frogert, and Fruit Loop Frolic, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster was Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjorie Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzov. Our arbitration expert is Viola Fuss. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our interior decorator is Perry Winkle. The director of our Alpine Choir is Ole Olehi. Our director of Top Secret Strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our Puerto Vallarta transmission specialist is Cinco de Mayo. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. And our Russian chauffeur is Pekoff and Dropoff. And, of course, our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey. Known to the severely sunburned chess masters in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey and the dispersers. A lot of dispersers in Harvard Square, too. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive or disperse like my brother.
Don't think like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
It's amazing. The less we know about something...
This is going to be right up there with the cattle trailer lights. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1328, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the teen driver area. We've put together all of our wisdom about teens and driving and compiled it for you in this one terrifying area of our website.
Well, there's a lot of good advice there for both parents and teens.
Yeah, Jack. About how to get started behind the wheel, how to negotiate use of the family car.
And how to clean the velour seats in Mom's Camry after your friend Stewie pukes on them.
Yeah, important stuff. That's everything we know about teens and driving. Check it out at our website, cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the good humor man heaves a box of frozen strawberry shortcakes at his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.